Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Second hour on this Saturday. We are brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. LPL Financial Nashville is your partner for whatever your future holds. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Plenty to get to on the Titans. Practice going on over at St. Thomas Sports Park right now. We'll continue to give you updates on anything notable coming out of Titans training camp. Also, some big trade rumors around the NFL. Could the Titans be involved? We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But first, it's time for our question of the day. I was in charge today. I want to know, what is your comfort TV show? We've got some good answers on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can give your answer, 615-737-1025. But let's give ours. Nick Frazier, what's your comfort TV show? You know, rewatchable, just makes you feel good.
Yeah, we're talking Food Network earlier. Probably Guy Fieri, Triple D.
Really?
I could go with that any day of the week. Man vs. Food was a big comfort.
I loved Man vs. Food.
Adam Richman. He actually wrote a book. I've heard it's really good. I need to go buy that.
Are you talking about Grocery Games?
No. Adam Richman. He did Man vs. Food.
No, the Guy Fieri show.
No, just straight up Triple D.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yes.
I've never seen that
one. The other one that I've been watching recently on Roku is Dog the Bounty Hunter. Huge Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh, I remember Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. Has his own channel and everything. I didn't know this.
I had no idea.
It's 24/7, like maybe one commercial every hour.
Wow.
It's awesome. Nonstop, Dog the Bounty Hunter, catching fugitives. You miss your bail bond. Yeah, that's it.
I love it. See, I do like some of those, I guess, there's a reality shows, right? Like,
yeah.
Like food shows, house hunting shows.
Live PD.
Those are good, but I'll give mine. How I Met Your Mother is mine. That's
one of mine.
There's a few that would be close, like The Office is definitely
up there.
The
Office is mine. Parks and Rec is one of mine.
Modern Family is a good one.
I haven't watched that all the way through.
Oh, you have to.
But every time I watch it, I think it's hilarious.
Modern Family, I think, is the funniest sitcom that's come out in the last 25 years.
I mean, it's fair. There's so many good characters. Like, Phil Dunphy, I think, is just freaking hilarious.
The writing on that show is just genius.
Brilliant.
Like, some of the jokes that they think of and the way they deliver them is so perfect. Most of it's, they do get a little too into the miscommunication. Like, that's how all of the shows are. It's like, oh, Phil thinks this is going on, but Gloria thinks this is going on. How are they going to sort it out? Like, that's how most of the shows go.
That's every sitcom ever.
But it's like, it is so well written. Modern Family, I wouldn't say it's my comfort show. It is really funny. How I Met Your Mother, I think I've watched How I Met Your Mother all the way through like 8 times. So
I usually stop at the last season.
See, I don't hate the last season. I don't love it. It's just so different from
the finale. The finale was great, and then you get the last 30 seconds, and we're like, come on, man.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the way they finished it, but I do think just like the first 8 seasons of that show is choice. And I've been watching season 3 the last couple days, just, you know, rolling through.
Good one.
Netflix asked me if I'm still watching. Ask again.
You know what I have been watching, and I don't know if I would consider it a comfort show, but it is so funny and so raunchy. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
See, I want to get into that.
It is that so funny.
And Curb Your Enthusiasm, I've seen a few episodes of, and I kind of want to watch them. But it feels like a lot because those are long shows. They've got like 19 seasons that. So
it's overwhelming.
It's like, do I think I'll ever get through all of this? Probably not.
Yeah.
Another good one, which I haven't watched in a while, maybe I'll get back into it, The League.
In my brain, yes.
That is...
I've heard of that. What is that?
It's about a fantasy football
league. Fantasy football.
Like, you said raunchy, and that just made me think of that.
Yes.
Like, it's so good. And, like, they use real NFL players in it sometimes.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like,
I want to watch that now.
Like,
then.
It's really good. You should watch it.
It was, like, in Joseph Addai's prime with the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Jamal Charles, all that.
Right. Like, who's Trent... Josh Cribbs is in it one time.
I'll definitely watch
it. No,
that.
Very good. You should definitely watch it. Jake Wallman, what's your comfort TV show?
I've got kind of a list. I'm with you on Modern Family. I'm with you on The Office and Parks and Rec. Seinfeld is up there, especially like the old ones, like in season like two or three, where George just can't hold a job. One of my favorites is where he's at the unemployment office and he's trying to like create this fake Vandalay Industries company where
Art
he's like
Vandalay. Yes. I love Seinfeld, man.
A few that you guys didn't mention. One that's actually a reboot. I've been really into King of the Hill lately.
I hate King of the Hill.
All right, we're just going to ignore that comment.
Well,
from
it's your
Connor.
Documentary, so
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I think you would like it.
I've never gotten into the cartoons. Chase, don't kill me if you're listening. Like, I've never watched a full episode of The Simpsons. I don't think.
I hate The Simpsons.
What's wrong with you guys?
I know, and I do think it. From what I've seen and heard, like, it does look very funny. It's just I've never gotten into it. I watched a little bit of Family Guy at one time. Like, I tried to get into it.
I can't watch that one all the way through because I think it's funnier if you just tune in out of context.
Yeah.
And the newer episodes of Family Guy, I can't really get into those. I'm more of like a, and the same with The Simpsons, like the first like 10, 11 seasons are where it's at.
It has like a sweet spot.
Yeah. Like the jokes are just funnier. And another one that I've gotten into, so my mom and dad introduced me and my wife to this on the Chip and Joanna Gaines Network. Magnolia Network.
Yeah, Magnolia.
There's a show called Back to the Frontier where three families go, I think it's in Colorado or something, and it's just pure wilderness, living like a family would in the late 1800s.
Interesting.
I'm a big fan of those like reality TV shows. Like The Amazing Race is my jam.
I used to watch a lot of Amazing Race, Big Brother, Survivor. I haven't been able to get into as much lately.
Easy, Phelan.
What?
You're Sam.
No, I haven't watched a full season of Survivor in at least 10 years. Maybe not 10, 7
Survivor,
or 8.
Survivor's fallen off.
Since high school, I haven't watched a full season of Survivor. Big Brother, I was pretty into. Like, I watched Big Brother all the way through college. I can't do it. 3 episodes a week is hard to do. Let's go to our phone lines, see if we've got some good answers here. Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dave says, Downton Abbey, Doc Martin, Robot Chicken. I have not seen any of those.
Robot Chicken's funny.
I have heard of that. Jay from Laverne has 5. Rolled them out. Ballers. I have watched Ballers. That one's pretty good.
It's with the Rock. Final
with
boss.
The Rock. Yep. All American.
With the worst route running you will ever see.
All American, the first 2 seasons, I think, were really good.
Yeah.
Cheesy. For sure cheesy, but entertaining.
Then it got political.
It got really stupid after that. Landman, I've heard that's really good.
I want to watch that.
That's on, like, Paramount or something like that.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Tulsa King, haven't seen that one.
Yes.
Mayor of Kingstown. Either.
Dwight Manfredi.
Mayor of Kingstown is Jeremy Renner.
Right, I have seen that.
I haven't watched it. I think it's like a kind of like a Godfather kind of show.
It's a Paramount one as well.
Yeah.
Joey from Bellevue seemingly likes gory shows. He says Dexter.
I haven't seen that.
Which isn't Dexter's like he cuts up the bodies and stuff like that. Like I haven't seen it. Yeah, but no, he says The Boys too, which fantastic. I love The Boys, but
you can only take it in small
doses.
Do
not watch it in public. I made the mistake one time of watching an episode of The Boys on a plane, and I think anybody who could see my screen probably thought that I was a psychopath.
Oh, hopefully it wasn't on a Vandy plane.
It was not.
Okay.
No, it was not. Justified, Kyle in Cookeville says, I don't know if I've seen that. I think I've heard of it.
Unfamiliar.
I definitely haven't watched it. Josh from White House says, it's not a TV show, but any of the woodworking channels I follow on YouTube.
Is that your burner?
I'm sure there are a lot of people who like that. Like, I know there are people who watch a lot of like fishing or hunting YouTube channels. Like, I'm sure that would work in there.
Yep.
And then watching thoughts on Trailer Park Boys.
I've never seen it.
Really? I have seen that one.
I tried to get into it. I think I tried to watch like the first season and it just didn't click with me.
For me, you got to watch it in small doses like they're talking about.
Okay.
I think that's kind of what. Now, they made movies to it, which were all
really?
Right.
Really?
But they were not good.
What about Workaholics with like.
I haven't seen that. I do like. Is Adam Devine? Is it
Adam Devine?
I do
in
like
it.
Him.
And then I can't remember the two other guys' names. It's kind of like a play off The Office, but it's not like The Office at all.
I just found out who Adam Devine is married to, and it shocked me, and I can't remember who it is. Let me find it. 7820 on the text line says That 70s Show. That is a good one. That honestly, I think That 70s Show was the first show I ever like watched all the way through by myself.
I haven't watched it all the way through, but I've seen
Chloe Bridges.
I need to see her.
Okay.
Let's rate women.
No, this is not what I'm doing. She's from something that
familiar face. Yeah.
Anyway, yes. That 70s Show. Did you watch That 90s Show?
I heard it was terrible.
I didn't. I was not a big fan.
I heard it was awful.
Now I'm trying to think of some other ones to watch.
I know who she is. So she, I'm going to sound really stupid here. She's from Camp Rock 2. She's the girl. She's the girl that Nick Jonas likes in that movie. I can't believe I'm talking about that, but I saw that the other day and I was like, oh my god, that's so funny that they got married. Anyway, That 70s Show, good one. Eric Foreman, yes. Red Foreman, one of the great TV characters of all time, for yeah, sure.
I mean, Two and a Half Men's a good one, too. The See, old ones.
I've seen Two and a Half Men, but that's one that I've never watched, like,
no, I haven't watched it all the way sequence. Full, but, I mean, you watch it out of context, and it's just, Charlie Sheen is super funny on that show.
Yeah. I like Charlie Sheen. Is it John Cryer's the other guy?
John Cryer. And then they replace Charlie Sheen after he gets some...
With Ashton Kutcher,
Kutcher, and that's where it falls off, apparently.
Yeah, after winning
Plus,
with Charlie Sheen.
Characters grow out of their characters, if that makes sense.
Right, I mean...
But Charlie Sheen's character in that show was just Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Like, he was...
There's been a...
Have you ever seen Reba?
No.
My sister loves it.
My wife's a big Reba McEntire fan.
My sister loves it. I can't really get into it.
I've watched a few episodes. It's not bad.
I've never seen it, but plenty of good answers on our text line. I'm looking through. Jay from Laverne adds Bar Rescue. I've never seen, I think I may have seen an episode or two, but I do like those shows.
I love just the nonchalant, make me this, like a whiskey sour. And the guy's not making the whiskey sour, right? He's not doing the right dosage. So he grabbed the glass and just throw it on the wall. I think that's hilarious. That's exactly what people need.
Taffer kicking open his driver's side door to run into a bar. Yeah.
He is. You know what? He's the Paul Heyman of Food Network.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, you need to look him up. You'll be like, oh my. Yeah, this is Paul Heyman.
It does look like him.
Yeah.
I think.
I'll look him up in the break.
All right.
One more.
Yep.
Impractical Jokers.
Oh, that is a great comfort show because
not anymore, but like
right,
when
but
Joe
like,
was still on
original
there.
Like first four or five seasons of that show.
Comfort
show. Again, one of those you just have on the background. It just makes you feel good to hear all the laughing and like maybe you listen in for a little bit. It's
good. One of those you put on while you do some work and you like
right
yeah you kind of come in and out.
That is a good one to end it on. We will take more answers if you have them out there. 615-737-1025. What's your comfort TV show? But we are going to move on, get back to the Titans. We will check in if there's any updates from training camp, and also some big names on the trade market that have requested trades formally over the last couple days. Do either of them make sense for the Titans? We will get into that next. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, Nashville's original hot chicken bursting with heat and flavor. There's nothing better than the original. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you on this Saturday morning. Still got plenty of time on the show. Again, we're going to look at the John Robinson interview with Chasen Big Joe in the final hour. Lots to get to there. Thought it was really well done by Chasen Big Joe, and we have some thoughts on a couple of the big things that came out of that hour-long conversation with the former Titans general manager. Also, where are they now? Coming up at 11. But back into the Titans here. Looking up at SportsCenter, Jeremy Fowler right outside the Titans practice facility right now. He's had some thoughts on Cam Ward. But the big news across the NFL, as he gets to right here, Micah Parsons, Terry McLaurin have both requested trades this week as they search for new contracts. Terry McLaurin a little bit less out there, I would say. Yeah. Micah Parsons wrote a novel and put it out on social media of why he is requesting a trade, why he says he no longer wants to be Dallas Cowboy.
Would you like a Dallas Cowboys joke?
I would love a Dallas Cowboys joke.
This is from my father as of 10:02 a.m., and it is appropriate. How are the Dallas Cowboys and Chick-fil-A employees the same?
They don't work on Sundays?
They both take Sundays off.
It's very good.
Sorry,
from,
Chase.
From Rick Newt. Yeah, Micah Parsons has requested a trade. So is Terry McLaurin. I don't know if either of them ever actually leave. Like,
I think Micah Parsons will have a contract on his desk by Monday.
Right. Like, a lot of the times, the requesting of a trade ends up being the catalyst that...
It's for leverage.
Right. Mm-hmm. That ends up getting a deal done. Like, remember Deebo Samuel?
Yeah.
Where Deebo... This was right during the A.J. Brown stuff. And I remember thinking, well, the Titans are still negotiating with A.J. Brown, but it seems like they're in a good place. They'll get something figured out. But Deebo was going to clubs and, like, telling people that he'll never play another down for the 49ers and, like, publicly requested a trade. Well, they figured out a contract.
That was McLaurin was doing stuff there, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that was the three. It was A.J., Deebo, and Terry McLaurin.
Right. They were all in the same draft class. And, like, Deebo, his mom was going on podcasts and saying,
well, they had that whole FaceTime. It was A.J. Brown and Deebo.
Yeah. So, requesting a trade, honestly, may not even mean anything. Because odds are, the Cowboys aren't going to trade Micah Parsons. At least I don't think.
Jerry's not going to do that.
I don't think Jerry Jones is going to do that. Jerry Jones not very good at running his football team over the last 25 years, but I don't think he's going to trade away his best or second best player.
They'll pay him whatever he wants.
He's going to get a new contract. But Terry McLaurin, I don't think they're going to trade him.
Do you think there's a market for Terry McLaurin?
Less than Commanders fans would like, I think.
I mean, he's 30.
Right.
And he's a good receiver, but I don't think he's a franchise-changing receiver. So, like, he's not Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase.
That's what I was going to say, is I saw some Titans fans out there saying, go get Terry McLaurin as a weapon for Cam Ward. And it's like, I understand the sentiment, but we got Terry McLaurin at home. Like, Calvin Ridley is basically Terry McLaurin.
They're the same age.
They're about the same age. Calvin's a little bit older, I think. If I'm not mistaken, I think Calvin just turned 30 and Terry turns 30 in September. So it's like barely a little bit older. They're going to be getting paid about the same amount. Terry probably gets a little more just because it's more recent, whatever deal he's going to get.
Next man up.
And I would say Terry probably a little bit more productive, but it's about the same. You don't really, with the timetable for this Titans team, Terry McLaurin does not fit their long-term plan. By the time the Titans are expecting to be good, Terry McLaurin's probably not going to be a top 15 wide receiver in the game.
Yeah, I'd agree to that. I mean, he's a trade deadline rental is what he is for a contending team.
Well, no, you'd have to give him a new contract.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying.
It's like, do you want to pay two receivers $20-plus million a year when your team's just not good enough to take advantage of that?
You have other holes to fill.
Yeah. I mean, right now the Titans are paying roughly 20. It says here Calvin Ridley's, $23 million roughly this year, so 22.4. So that's his salary for this season. As Terry McLaurin's 15.5.
Well, Terry would get a new deal, and it would probably be upwards of 20.
I'm just saying for, like, the year. Yeah.
But Terry, he's a good player. And if you think he's the missing piece to go win, then you do it. Like, when the Titans traded for Julio Jones, they thought he was the missing piece to go win a championship. It obviously didn't work out, but it made sense with that timetable of, hey, you've got Derrick Henry in his prime. Ryan Tannehill still playing at a high level. You've got an up-and-coming receiver in A.J. Brown. The defense was solid. It was like, all right, if we go get Julio Jones, we could make a run at it. That timetable made sense. For the Titans right now, like last year, you trade for L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed doesn't fit in the timetable. Even if he does have a bounce-back year this year, he's not going to be a major piece of this team when they get back to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Neither would Terry McLaurin if you trade for him right now.
Like, he's not a franchise-changing receiver either. He's not a generational talent. He's a good receiver, but I think Terry needs to put it in reverse. So did it there. You guys got me?
Put it in reverse, Terry.
Bag up, Terry. Bag up. Put it in reverse, Terry.
Now, Micah Parsons. That is a trade I would go make. If it was available, I don't think it is. I don't think the Cowboys are even going to entertain trading for Micah Parsons. But that is a guy who not only does he make you better now, but he is going to make you better for a long time.
Can I disagree with you?
You can. I give you permission to disagree with
me. I think that's sports talk radio. Yes.
That is kind of how this works.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make that trade. I was listening to D-Mace yesterday talk about you know, what would the asking price for Micah Parsons be? And he said it would probably be around Jeffrey Simmons and two firsts. I don't think risking the future, the draft picks wise, is worth Micah Parsons, generational defensive player.
If it's that much, then I agree, but I don't think it would be that much.
I don't either. But if it is, plus you got to give him a new contract if you do that.
Right, which is why the Cowboys wouldn't have leverage.
Yeah. I think there's just too much going on. I love the player, but I think it just doesn't make sense for the Titans to do that.
I think if you could get the asking price down to like a first and a third, maybe you throw a player in there, or like Jeffrey Simmons in a first. Like, I understand you don't want to give up your first round pick because it's probably going to be high this year.
Yeah,
like you are probably giving up a top 10 pick in this. But Micah Parsons is a player that you could build your defense around.
1,000%.
And you already have the quarterback. That's the only reason that I would consider it. If you don't have your quarterback, you don't give up your first round pick.
You're right.
Because that is such an important piece of whether you want to trade up to get a quarterback or if you luck into the number one pick like the Titans did this year. But you got your quarterback. If the asking price got to a certain point, and again, I don't think Micah Parsons is going to be made available. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to be fielding calls and offers.
I think he'll have a new contract.
I think Micah Parsons will be a Cowboy for at least the next 5 years. But if he was available, that is a guy who fits the timeline of what the Titans are trying to do. And it would be a move that not only this year, I think Micah Parsons, if you brought him in this year, he probably makes you a win better than you are. And you head into next year with a superstar defensive player and hopefully your franchise quarterback. That's a great start to getting back to the playoffs.
Yeah. And to that point, say if Jeffrey Simmons was in the works with a trade like this, you still got Tavondre Sweat, who can still just mess up the middle of the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, if you might have to include Simmons in a trade.
Right.
But if you didn't, and you could run out, like let's say next year, you run out a defensive line of hoping Femi Oladejo is what you hope he is. Femi, Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat, Micah Parsons. That is best defensive line in the league. I think it would be hard to argue it isn't. Femi is the wild card there.
This is absolute best case scenario. Like that whole scenario right,
right
there.
No, yeah. For sure. Like it's all wishful thinking of like Sweat's got to take a big step and Femi's got to be the guy that they hope he is. You picked him in the second round. But I'm just saying, if you add Micah Parsons to this team, that's something that isn't completely out of nowhere. Like, the Titans don't need win-now moves. Micah Parsons is a win-now and win-later move because he's young enough and he's talented enough.
He's what, 25? 26?
You could get five more high-level years out of Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
And I think the Titans hope that within 5 years, they're back to being a contender. So, bringing him in this year, maybe it makes you a 6-win team instead of a 5-win team. But I think next year and 2027, that's immediately the staple piece of your defense, maybe of your entire team, if you made that move. So I don't think he's available. This all is probably just,
fantasy land.
Speaking into the ether because it doesn't really matter. But if he's available, I would seriously look into it if I was Mike Borgonzi.
Yeah. And because looking into the next season when it comes to the draft, you can have majority of your picks to be all defense and you can actually revolve it around Micah Parsons.
Right.
Which is what you need.
You need it.
I just think the asking price would be too high.
I agree. Which is why
I wouldn't do it.
I don't think you could get it down to a place you're comfortable with and the Cowboys are going to pay.
Yeah.
So 9777 on our text line says, LOL, trade Arden Key in the package and keep Simmons. Yeah, let's do that.
That'll work.
I think Arden Key is some bag of football.
We got you. We gave you, who was it?
We want Micah Parsons. We'll give you Arden Key and a 4th-round pick.
You said the key to my Ford? I don't need that. I got a spare in the wallet.
I don't want it.
We'll give you Arden Key, Chigakonkwo,
and
we'll swap picks in the sixth round. How does that sound, Jerry?
Well, I like swapping picks, but I don't know if that's tickling my fancy a little bit. I need something a little extra.
Jerry Jones put on an Oscar-worthy performance in Landman, apparently.
I have heard that, yeah.
Like, he starts crying, and...
Maybe that's why Micah doesn't have a new contract. They haven't been able to negotiate because he's been out on set so much with his acting career.
Talking to Calipari, hanging out with the Razorbacks.
Hey, he is a big Arkansas guy.
He's a big donor of theirs.
Yes. Yeah.
His grandson played football at Arkansas.
Right. Yes. And his son was the one that was that Micah named by name, and that, like, he didn't say Jerry, he said Stephen Jones, like, basically has refused to negotiate with him. So, very interesting. 615-737-1025. If you have thoughts on the Titans or any of these possible trade moves, I understand they're very unlikely and honestly probably not going to happen, not just to the Titans, but to anybody. I don't know if McLaurin or Parsons are going anywhere, but if you have thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025, halfway through the show. When we come back, we'll continue to look at these trade opportunities and check in on Titans practice as they wrap up over there at St. Thomas Sports Park. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Still got an hour and a half to go. Again, Where Are They Now? Coming up at the top of the hour, America's favorite game show. We will also get into the J-Rob interview with Chase and Big Joe. But quickly, updates. Seems like practice just finished over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Teron Davenport just put out his notes. Let me search through here for anything notable.
That means hurry up, Parker Kelly. We got a meeting today.
Yeah, get in that car. At least it's Saturday, no traffic.
That's true.
Traffic was bad out there yesterday.
And it's beautiful today.
It is. Highs in the 80s is such a welcome sight after how hot it's been.
With the humidity being low as well.
Which, again, it's surface level analysis, but it seems like there was more energy today over at Titans practice. Maybe because it's not quite as hot. Again, very surface level. Calvin Ridley back at practice after missing yesterday due to rest. Peter Skoronski also was on the field. Tavondre Sweat out again. So that was kind of the injury update. Based on what I've seen, Cam Ward has looked pretty good. He almost threw a pick to Darrell Baker, made a couple of nice throws to Ridley, Oliver. Apparently, Ward hit Ridley for what would have been a touchdown. Calvin Ridley dropped it late in practice in a team drill.
Uh-oh.
Femi Oladejo won pretty much all of his 1v1 reps. That's good to
see.
That
is good.
Ward in team period, found Van Jefferson a couple of times. Alec Iamanner had a couple of touchdowns, one in red zone.
Telling you, man, he's going to be fun.
I think Iamanner is going to be good. Joey Sly missed a 45-yard field goal.
Hokey hokey high.
Uh-oh. Tech VPI. yeah, so, based on that, seems like probably the best practice for Cam Ward in a week.
Yeah, and I think, I don't want to say it couldn't get much worse because it absolutely could, but I think it kind of speaks to what Brian Callahan has been saying about Cam Ward, is that when he makes a mistake, he is going to learn from it. He doesn't like making mistakes. No quarterback in the NFL does.
Right.
Even Will Levis didn't like making mistakes, even though it seemed like that was his drug. But it just feels like Cam Ward, I think, knows he has not been good. He has been, quote, say it with me now,
mid.
We sound like Pat McAfee show right now. He knows he's been mid, but I think he doesn't want... He has that killer instinct, you know? I don't want to compare him to, like, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, but they had that killer instinct in that they knew they were going to make you pay regardless of how they played the game before. We haven't seen Cam Ward in a game situation. We've seen him in practice. We've seen him throwing picks across the middle to Cody Barton. Whether or not that translates to an actual game situation, we'll see. But it seems like if that does, Cam Ward is not going to dwell on those mistakes like last year's quarterback did. He's just going to keep pushing forward. He said it himself. If he throws a four-book game, as I have never heard that before.
I still have never heard anyone
four-book game
refer to interceptions as book.
Didn't Callahan say that at one point last year?
Maybe he did.
Maybe that's where it came from.
I think so. I think I remember hearing Callahan in one of those press conferences last year saying book.
What a horrible book from Will Levis that cost us the game.
But anyways, if he throws a four-book game, the next week he's not going to dwell on it. He is going to go into that game thinking, well, I'm throwing 350 and five touchdowns.
Right.
And that's the mentality I think a young quarterback needs to have.
This upcoming week is going to be very important for Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Going to a new environment, I think it's good that these joint practices are not in Nashville. He's got to go to a place he's unfamiliar with, face guys he hasn't faced before.
Not as much of a microscope on him away
right.
from home.
Right.
Less eyes on him. Only thing we'll see is like open period practices.
Right. And we'll get all the updates from everybody who travels down there. But like, it's going to be less of the entire world is looking right at him, because the fans out there for Tampa Bay, they're going to be less focused. Like, they're going to want to see Cam Ward.
Yeah.
But it's going to be more about the Bucs players.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what he does in joint practices and in a preseason game. How much do you guys want him to play in the preseason game?
I want to see him play every first half of every game.
Really?
Yes.
You want 6 quarters of preseason football from Cam Ward?
I do.
Here's how
I really do.
I would do it kind of like they did last year. Give me one drive of him in the first preseason game, maybe most of a quarter, if not the full first quarter in the second game. Then he can play maybe the first half in the third game.
Yeah, I think I'm right around there with you. I think a drive next Saturday, depending on how joint practices go.
Like, right.
I think what he does in these joint practices is going to be very telling of what you need to see in the preseason game. He's a rookie. I'd like to see him out there at least for a drive on Saturday. But let's say he does well on Saturday. They do a lot of work in the joint practices. If he doesn't play against Atlanta, like, I'm not...
The second game is the game no one cares about.
I think he should play in all three games at some point. But like, that's going to be based on what the coaching staff sees. I do think the last game, I'd like to see him play at least a quarter.
Yeah.
But there's always you want to go into the regular season on a high note.
Yeah.
So, like, that game against the Vikings at home, if they go out and march right down the field and score a touchdown, I'm like, you don't need to see anymore. Let him go into the regular season with confidence in front of the home crowd. I think the last game is going to be very dependent on how he does. If he struggles and they go 3 and out or he throws a pick, keep him in there until he can leave on a high note.
I mean, let's not play revisionist history. Like, C.J. Stroud, his preseason, he was awful. Like, we all thought he was going to suck. And then he comes in his rookie year and lights it up. I'm not saying that will happen for Cam Ward, but if Cam Ward goes into the preseason and just doesn't look good, don't take that as a reflection of what the season is going to look like.
Preseason and results don't matter that much.
Yeah, and that just alludes...
Unless you're the Baltimore Ravens.
That just alludes to my point that he needs to be playing the first half of every single preseason game. In my opinion, there's so many new nuances with this offense. I get it. Joint practices, you can do whatever with that. You need in-game reps.
Right.
I don't care what anybody says. You could play a quarter, a drive, whatever. If you play a full half, that gives you a good synopsis of what you really have. And to your point, if that third game comes around or whatever and you've already seen enough out of them, one quarter or a drive's fine.
Right.
I just think those first two are vital, though.
I think the third game is more about confidence, but next Saturday is about just getting him into an NFL game. Mm-hmm. Like, put the uniform on, go out there, play in front of a crowd. It's not going to be a big crowd, but go out there and play and, you know, see what happens. The results really don't matter.
Yeah.
The Titans won just as many preseason games as they did regular season games last year. So it really does not matter the results. If Cam Ward goes out there and throws a pick six on the first play of his preseason, good. Like, not good. Obviously,
good.
We don't want to see
Let's
it. But like,
go.
But, like, he can learn from it.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota's first pass in a preseason game was an interception.
Get the jitters out of the way.
Is that right? It was against the Falcons.
Yeah.
Right, because he hadn't thrown a pick in all of training camp, and then his first pass in the preseason game was intercepted.
Right.
So, not that we want Cam Ward to turn out like Marcus.
About the Lloyd Cushenberry thing we started the show off with, that's kind of another reason why I would like to see Cam Ward get a whole half in, is because if Lloyd Cushenberry's back, potentially, with, you know, those preseason games, there's your chemistry you're building in-game. Not in joint practice, in-game.
I don't know if Lloyd Cushenberry is going to play at least until the last preseason game.
Yeah.
Maybe not at all.
You're going to see a lot of Corey Levin and Jackson Slater
out
there.
Even if he comes back next week, because that was Terry McCormick's report again, was that the initial target date for L'Jarius Sneed and Lloyd Cushenberry to come back is that week of the Atlanta preseason game. So not this upcoming week, the week after. I think it's still going to be a stretch for Cushenberry to be ready for week one. Possible, but we'll see.
I can see that.
Texter on our text line agrees with you, Nick. At least every first half, he says he thinks Cam needs that game time to get him as ready as possible for Denver week one. I can see where that comes from. Like, I do want to see a decent amount from him, but I think it is such a feel thing. It's kind of like managing a bullpen in baseball, of like, you just have a feel of like, all right, we've seen enough from him. Let's just get him out of there. And you don't want to leave him in one play too long, right? Like, that's the main thing, is you want to make sure he's healthy, he gets the reps, and keeps his confidence high heading into the season.
I see that, but I also look at it from a, I guess, scouting perspective when it comes to the quarterback, because it's his offense. The world is his oyster.
Yeah.
Say if he loves a third-string wide receiver, say Restrepo does a good job in a preseason game, and maybe he's better in-game than in a joint practice, maybe that's what sets that wide receiver or whoever else apart from others.
It's a good point.
Just putting that out there.
It's a good point. I can't believe we are a week away from preseason game one. I mean, we had a preseason game on Thursday night. I did not watch much of it.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the virtual first down marker? I love it.
It looks like tennis.
It does. It's like the Eagle Eye, Hawkeye system.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. It is the year 2025.
Although I missed the chain game.
Well, they're still out there. They're a backup.
Yeah. But
it is the year 2025. We need to stop
the
measuring first downs with chains connected by two brooms, basically.
You're right.
Let's just have a guy out there eyeballing it.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's a first down.
It's like a Michigan, South Carolina with Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
Where it's clearly behind the line and they give it to him.
First down. Steve Spurrier is just going ballistic.
Clowney took it into his own hands.
Fumble, scoop and score.
Was it Gene Steratore who used like the credit card and like, that's first down? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More on the Titans coming up next. And again, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, where are they now? And a look back at John Robinson's interview with Chase and Big Joe. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, Jake Wallman with you on this Saturday morning. Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Force Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Wrapping up hour number two on this Saturday. Hope you're having a great start to your weekend. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Talking Titans. They just wrapped up practice over at St. Thomas Sports Park. Back-to-back days of padded practice. A lot of good coming out about Cam Ward, and that's good to see. I think Titans fans, Cam Ward, the team, they needed a good day from Cam Ward so people would stop talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, we're all guilty of it, too.
Right. It's easy when you get these updates day by day of what Cam Ward is doing. It's easy to overreact in the recency bias. Not every good practice means that he's the best quarterback in the league. Not every bad practice means he's the worst quarterback in the league. It's going to be up and down. And hopefully, next week is a good week for him as he takes on Tampa Bay in those joint practices.
I don't know if Baker will be ready. I think he has a hand contusion.
Yeah, I did see that.
In his throwing hand?
It just said hand contusion.
Who's their backup down there? Is it still Kyle Trask?
I think it is Kyle Trask.
Because they had the battle, and Baker obviously won. Yeah, Kyle Trask, Michael Pratt, the former Tulane quarterback.
Packer.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's a good where are they now.
Yeah, that is true.
I'll use that in like 6 months when you guys forget.
So it'll be a fun one down there. Cam Ward going to try and show out a little bit. Denard Wilson was just speaking to the media, and this might seem obvious, but he did say, when L'Jarius Sneed comes back, he is a starter for us. Again, maybe seems obvious, but good to hear that at the very least the coaching staff does have confidence in his ability, because it's easy to forget, even when he was healthy last year, he wasn't very good. He wasn't bad. It's not like he was a liability out there, but it wasn't like he was lighting the world on fire and then just suffered an injury. It was a little underwhelming in the first couple of weeks of the L'Jarius Sneed era.
But they need him because
For sure.
For corner depth. Outside of Sneed, you have Brownlee and McCreary. And really, that's about it in your secondary that's notable. They need him simply just so they have another solid body out there.
Right. You can't go into the season expecting, I guess it would be Jarvis Brownlee Jr., Daryl Baker,
yes,
Roger McCreary would be like that. But who else beyond that? If Snead isn't ready, or if anything comes up with Snead and, you know, his legal situation, like who else? Jamari Harris is the undrafted guy out of Iowa who
will probably make the roster.
Like I know they like him, but
yeah.
Marcus Harris, the guy out of Cal, but is he kind of a nickel guy?
Yeah, he's more of a slot guy.
So, I mean, you need L'Jarius Snead. You need him to be good. There's a reason that he was still an honorable mention on the ESPN top 10 cornerbacks list. There's still a lot of belief in the film that he put out there when he was in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he ever gets back to that level, but even 75% of that would make him easily top one or two corner on this team.
There's my guy on the TV right there.
Ozzie.
Oh, this is old. This is like a 1985 Cardinals-Cubs game.
It is.
Yes.
MLB Network Saturday programming.
Great. I think it could be because, is that not Ryan Sandberg on the mound for the Cubs?
It might be. I have to go check. But to the Titans topic while you look that up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good. No, I just kind of were talking about special teams earlier. John Fossil, according to Jim Wyatt. Hey, look, I just accredited somebody.
Look at that.
He said that.
Make sure you do that in your practice reaction.
Yeah.
I will say Ryan Sandberg's not a pitcher, so it is not him on the mound.
Yeah. let's see here. Competition and joint practices and return game. He mentioned Jaquan Jackson, Tajay Spears, Shamir DK, Xavier Restrepo, and James Proche. So no
Proche.
Bryce Oliver in that mix.
Yeah.
Although he did say Bryce Oliver was fantastic on special teams. According to
Special teams, but like
not
I'm talking
returning.
For returning.
Oh
yeah, because we talked about it earlier with him possibly.
I'm telling
being a
you,
it'll
be Chim DK.
You think?
I think
DK makes the most sense in terms of potential.
Yeah,
was it us going through the last time there was a Titans kick return, or maybe it was D-Mace?
Yeah, it was me and D-Mace.
Yeah, where they've only had one return touchdown outside of the A.J. Brown onside kick return touchdown since 2012?
Yeah,
something
around
like
that area.
The only one since then was Darius Jennings, who had a kick return touchdown in 2018.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I believe the last one was like Darius Raynaud or something like that in 2013. So it really has been a long, long, long time since the Titans have had an explosive returner. DK could be that. He ran a 4.38.
Yeah,
that sound right. Yeah, like
his thing is just his hands. He's got to work on hauling them in.
As the great Mike Vrabel said, "Get me a returner who can catch the ball. That's the most important thing. You got to catch it." But
how many have they had?
I mean,
Kyle Phillips was terrible.
Everybody thought Kyle Phillips was going to be the savior, and he was horrible.
They thought he was a Swiss Army knife.
Right. Everybody was like, oh, they drafted Kyle Phillips. He's going to be the returner. He's going to be our Mark Mariani.
Yeah.
And
the guy can block in the run
game. Jaquan Jackson could haul him in, but he would like take 18 steps and gain like 2 feet and then get blown up.
And then you had to put Imani Hooker back there, or
Tajay Spears.
Robert Woods went back there a couple times. It's just like, hey, we don't care what you do once you catch the ball. Just make sure you catch it. If Chim DK can catch the ball, I think he is the most explosive, highest ceiling returner back there. But it is nice to have James Proche, mm-hmm. where maybe you sneak him onto the 53 to start, or maybe he's on your practice squad and he can be an elevation if you need it, if Chim DK struggles. And then who knows, if Proche is good, you put him on the 53 and you carry seven receivers.
Yeah, and I'm also curious too with special teams with Bones Fossil, the film aspect of this when it comes to returning, because obviously the new kickoff format, you wonder what kind of, I guess they call them valleys or tunnels or whatever, that you're going through. You're basically your run lanes if you're on, you know, punt or kick team. But when you're the return game, what kind of valleys are they opening up? Because they're starting out like right next to each other and be like 10 yards in between. So, I mean, you talk about that top-end speed with Shamir DK, like that could be something to look at, because I was watching the Hall of Fame game and they had Nyheim Hines.
Yeah.
And he broke
Colts
open.
Legend.
Yeah. He broke open a few runs that kind of, in my brain, I was thinking, man, this could really be the Titans this year. If they have a top end guy, I mean, like you guys are talking about, Shamir DK.
they got to find somebody. Yeah. Like, it's got to be better. The field position, there's a reason the Titans defense was the number one team in yards allowed, because they lost the field position game so consistently. And yeah, maybe they didn't give up a lot of yards, but it's because there weren't a lot of yards available to give up.
Right.
Like, when the team's starting at their own 45 on average, I don't know if that's actually correct, but like, there's less yards for you to give up. Titans have to be better in special teams, and just getting the, like, getting an extra 10 yards, that's a first down that you don't have to get anymore. It's huge, and having a good returner is going to be really important. Other observations from Titans practice today. Good to hear that Femi Oladejo is having a good start to
camp.
He
seems like he's ahead of schedule.
Right. I think, and we talked about it, I thought he was going to be real project player,
mm-hmm.
not a red shirt, like, as in take the year off, but I thought it was going to be kind of a redshirt year of like, hey, we're going to get you in there when we can, but we don't expect you to be an impact player for us right out the gate. It seems like he could be, not saying he's a 10 sack guy as a rookie, but
yeah.
He could be a 5 to 7 sack guy, and that's more than I thought he would get. I was thinking he'd end up, you know, maybe 2 or 3 sacks, show some flashes here and there, but we're looking to 2026 for Femi. He looks like he is ahead of schedule.
Yeah, and that's good to see, because when that pick was made, I hated it, like a lot of people.
I didn't hate it. I was disappointed, because I think, like Titan, like a lot of Titans fans, they want a wide receiver.
Yeah.
They wanted the flashy new weapon for Cam Ward, and when you take a project edge rusher, that isn't the flashy, sexy pick. And if it works out, Mike Borgonzi's a lot smarter than a lot of Titans fans. So
smarter than me.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Wrapping up hour number two here on Force Company. Plenty coming up. We'll have Where Are They Now coming up next. And again, we are going to give our thoughts on John Robinson's appearance with Chase and Big Joe on Thursday. Plenty to get to there with Treylon Burks, Isaiah Wilson, and much more. We'll do that in the final hour. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you here. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.